Hello and welcome to the NAPIT What's Current podcast, where we discuss all things electrical. I'm your host today, Andrew Duffin, Technical Commercial Engineer at NAPIT. And this week's episode is a special one, as it's a members guest show on men's mental health. And I'm joined by Chris Edridge.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah. How are you, mate?
Not bad. Thank you very much.
Safe journey down here today?
Yeah, not too bad.
Good. So, this one's a real special one, as we're going to be talking about men's mental health. And Chris, I don't mind me saying that you had your struggles in the past.
Yeah, I had a few. I had a breakdown. Yeah, struggled massively.
Yeah.
Breakdown, addiction, lost it all, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we'll get on to that.
Yeah.
Because it's really, I've got your background story beforehand, yeah. So I know a bit more than the listeners right now. But as always, I usually start off with the first question is just tell us a bit about your journey into the electrical career. How did you get here?
So when I left school, I was actually a chef.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, I was a chef till 2012.
Right.
Hopefully Olympic rowing team. And then a chap that I went to the gym with, he was an electrician.
Right.
He was like, do you want a couple of days work? Because I worked weekends, so I had days off in the week.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing 2 days a week with him.
Did you enjoy it then?
Yeah, really, yeah. To go from a kitchen, a stressful environment,
yeah,
having a laugh on site, I was like, wow, what have I missed out on?
Right. What sort of work was it doing at that time?
House bashing.
Okay, yeah. Rewiring, stuff like that.
Rewiring, yeah, and then going in, doing the ICRs and stuff.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's just an eye-opener, really.
Yeah, definitely is.
And you got weekends off.
Well, not all the time, but
so you
was catering.
Yeah,
heart wasn't really in it, I would say, by the sound of things.
I'd go back to it tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, loved it.
Okay.
Yeah, mad. I don't know. I like the pressure.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
Stiffy. Yeah, can't stand heat. Get out of the kitchen, they say. But
yeah, definitely.
No, I enjoy sight.
Yeah.
So I did. I started doing night schools. 3 evenings a week.
It's a tough environment, isn't it, that if you're working, going to do college on the evening, because I'm a former tutor myself, so it's hard for the learners. I used to appreciate that they've probably done like 10 hours at work, then travel to a local college, maybe not had no dinner.
You're always living off McDonald's. Done that.
But did you enjoy the course when you was doing it, though?
Yeah, I did level 2, level 3, and then I went straight into doing my testing and inspection.
Yeah.
Literally, I think I did 3 years of
college,
like, evening school.
Yeah, so you must have enjoyed that part of it.
Yeah, it was good.
Because you stuck at it, which is a good thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I had no option. When I was doing my testing and inspection, my partner at the time, she was pregnant.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. So there was a bit of pressure.
Get it done to get out there and start working.
Yeah.
Because you spend a lot more money on a site than you do in the kitchen.
I suppose it depends what kitchen you're working in, I suppose.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
As soon as I'd done that, I then started, funnily enough, she was a nanny, and the person that she used to nanny for, he had an electrical company.
Oh, right.
So I went, she gave birth, I qualified my testing and inspection, and about 2 weeks later, I started working for him.
Wow, that's a lot going on at one time there.
Yeah, so then that was, 2016 I started working for him.
Okay.
And I'd done 4.5 years with him.
You enjoyed that, working alongside him?
Yeah, great fun.
Because there's not as, I suppose, he's getting to work for you and you just turn up, do your bit, go home kind of scenario.
There's quite a few of us working there, and out of that, there was a group of us, and we still work together now we're out on our own.
Right, okay.
So I made some good friends out of that.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
So you said that you went out on your own. So what sort of time frame was that then when you started to go?
I went out on my own in 2020, middle of COVID.
Great time to do it.
So someone I know, a property developer, and he was like, I've got 9 flats, would you be interested in doing them?
And that was like first fix.
Well, actually, funny enough, I offered it to the gentleman that I was working for.
Right.
And I was like, look, I've been offered this, don't think I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
He priced it. They had a bit of a to-do over pricing.
Yeah, can imagine.
So then the chap under the property developer went, there's his pricing. What do you reckon you can do it? I was like, all right. Yeah. So I went for it, and everyone that I spoke to was like, "You're mad. Don't go out on your own. You're crazy."
I was just about to say that, you know, you're a sole trader now, you know, and you took that leap.
Yeah.
In COVID time, 1920.
Partner at the time, she was pregnant with our second.
Wow. What was going through your mind at
and
the time?
I was selling a property at the time, and we was buying, like, he had it all going on. And
yeah.
My dad was in hospital dying at the same time. And I don't know. Do you know what? It was just, it took me away from life.
Yeah.
And I just went for it.
Yeah.
I was like, what have I got to lose?
Yeah. Because it's like we were talking earlier on.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a gamble, isn't it, when you go as a sole trader?
Yeah.
Because, I was in the comfort zone of working for a company. You know, boss got the work, you go and do the work.
Yeah, it's easy like that.
It's a lot. Yeah. You don't earn as much as what you would do.
No, but it's 9 to 5. You go home, you've got no pressure. You can spend time with your wife, your kids.
Yeah, this is the trade-off, yeah, isn't it? It's a trade-off. So
you weigh it up, yeah, the pros and the cons.
That's why I have so much admiration for people like yourselves that go, right, I'm going to turn
around. I'm back working for someone now.
Right, you tasted that and went,
well, no. I still do my own stuff, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just a regular income now. And
with
what happened with my mental health, it's just one less pressure, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're not running around chasing people for money, haven't got quoting. Not sitting up till midnight doing your certs because you haven't had time to do it in the day.
This is what I used to tell students, you see, because they, you know, when I taught a lot of 16 to 19 year olds and they all wanted their own company. And I was trying to explain to them the pressures that go with having your company.
Until you do it, you'll never know.
Yeah, you won't.
And you can have people tell you what to do and they'll give you advice. But if you're like me, you're going to just go, yeah, whatever, mate. And
yeah, you're
going to do it how you think you should do it. But in hindsight, I should have listened to certain people.
But you only learn from your mistakes, don't you, unfortunately?
Yeah,
you know,
it's the best way of learning.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So, a lot of pressure going on then in 2019 and
2020. 2020 was a tough year.
Yeah. So what sort of happened then for you?
So my little one was born 7th of November 2019.
Right.
Day after Boxing Day, I was at work because I was working in data bank centres. I had a phone call from my mum or my sister. Dad's been rushed to hospital. I was like, whoa, all right.
Okay. Was this out of the blue?
Out of the blue. Well, right. He was a type A diabetic.
Okay.
So he was had hypos. It wasn't uncommon. That's what they thought it was. So they let me go. I was like, look, I've got to go. My dad's gone to hospital. Went, turned out he'd had a stroke. But he had multiple strokes at once.
Wow.
Which is, if you knew my dad, he was a unique character. Okay. So it was just perfect that he'd had that.
Okay. Okay.
Then March 2020, COVID come.
Yes.
Everything was locked down.
Yeah, I mean, the world changed for everyone.
Mental, crazy.
Yeah.
And my dad was walking, talking. He was getting better. And then we didn't see him for 4.5 months. Wasn't allowed to see him.
Yeah. It was tough, wasn't it?
In that period, it was like, can't see my dad. Like, I'm going to work. Like, it was tough on everyone. You can't see your family.
Did you think you buried yourself in work? 100%. Do you think what was going on?
And, 100%, mate, I was working nights, I was doing days, I was doing weekends.
It was like, if I've got a busy mind, I can't think about what's going on in my private life. Spoiling myself and work.
Partner at the time, God bless, she's a good girl. My eldest was it'd been 4. Vin was 6, 7 months. She's at home.
Looking after two kids is hard work, isn't it?
But it was glorious sunshine. So we'd just sold our flat, we'd moved into a house. So she was just, they had the garden, it was just, they were happy.
Yeah.
And dad's going to work, that was it. And I was lucky that I worked the whole way through COVID.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, during COVID, the building industry, construction, it was one of the industries that sort of soared, like you said. Like it was massive. Only, a lot of industries struggled, but construction seemed to be quite buoyant.
I didn't have a time to day off.
Yeah.
And then it all got lifted in August. And I remember we'd started to see dad. We was only allowed to see him through a window and he deteriorated.
Okay.
And then they just said, they sent him home. And I went to Canberra Sands, because you couldn't go abroad at the time.
Yeah.
So I went to Canberra Sands end of the August. And with my partner and my two boys and the dog.
Of course.
Yeah, I was, mate, Gorgeous George.
Lovely name.
Yeah. And I'd left the phone. I think we'd gone swimming or something. And we got back. I had a phone call from my auntie. And I was like, I looked at Michelle at the time. I was like, that's weird.
Yes.
So like, I was like, why'd they never call me?
Yeah.
Phone up. My uncle picked up. He was like, all right, Christopher. I was like, all right, Uncle Pete, what's going on? He's like, Dad's been rushed into hospital. He's got 24 hours.
Wow, yeah.
I'm in Camber Sands. My sister, funnily enough, lives in Hastings, which is like half hour drive.
Okay.
So he was like, you need to get back.
Yeah.
So I phoned my sister and she's like, I've just spoke to, she's my stepsister. So it's her dad. It's my stepdad. I call him dad.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, I'm going to drive up. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do the same. So I spoke to Michelle. I was like, look, told her everything. She's like, you've got to go.
Yeah.
I was like, right, so let's have dinner. And after dinner, you spend the time with the kids so they don't know I'm going. So I drove back. It was 6 hours. There was an accident on M25. Oh. Shut. Me and my sister.
The dreaded M25. Yeah.
So I managed to get back. I got back about 10:30. I went straight to the hospital. Said my goodbyes. I was on my own. Went back to my house.
But nothing prepares you for that in life.
No, I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was quite surreal.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine it was probably all like slow motion, wasn't it, at the time?
Yeah. And then I remember waking up at, I think, about 3 a.m. I drove back down to Camber Sands. My kids didn't know that I'd gone.
Right, I see what you've done.
So, yeah, I was, because we only had like a day or two left. So I was like, look, I'm going to come back down. We'd contemplated coming back, but I was like, no, not for the kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I get you.
So I expected the worst. Like, was down there. Never got a phone call. Got back.
I'm not laughing.
Oh, it's mad. Like, yeah, it's crazy. So we got back, and then it was. He hadn't changed. His situation hadn't changed, but it did over. And it went on for about another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was going to work in that time in the evening.
Again, was you trying to keep yourself busy because you didn't want to think about
people that, like that. What my sisters, they're teachers, so they was given compassionate leave.
Yes.
And they were there for my mum.
And you were sole trader.
I was a sole trader. Like, I had to.
You had to work.
I had to earn,
And
it was tough.
And do you think, you said you buried yourself in work to sort of cope and make a mechanism, for the grief.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a common trait for tradespeople?
100%.
To do that?
Yeah, 2 million.
Or just men in general?
Men in general. 99% of men will just crack on with life.
Yeah, yeah.
And they won't even talk to their wives. They won't.
Yeah.
And it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's madness.
It is, isn't it? I saw some good campaigns. I'm a football fan. I know you're a football fan. And during half time, it's going to, check in on your friends and make phone call, stuff like that. And as men, we're not very good at stuff like that. And like you said, you'll bury yourself in work, or you might bury yourself in alcohol or stuff out.
So I buried myself in work at that time.
Yeah.
So then 14th of September, I get up as normal. Oh, this will make laugh. So we had nothing from Dad for like 10 days. And Michelle, she was like, look, I want to, that was my partner.
Yeah.
She went, I want to go see Dad. I was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, they got on really well.
Yeah.
It's madness, like how well they got on.
Yeah.
And I just remember going in there and I'd warned her it wasn't nice.
Yes.
And like, we'd had nothing. He couldn't move or anything. And I walked in and he used to call her Mitchell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why. It was just this way. And I went, all right, Dad, Mitchell's here. And he opened his eye, winked at her, smiled.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, she cried, I cried.
Yeah, of course.
And then I think it was like the next day I'd gone to work. And it was like, I was walking to, I remember it clear as day. I was walking to the skip to throw something in there. Because as electricians, we do clean up.
It's just a trades myth, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I wasn't using a broom, though. I was walking over to the skip. And I remember it was like walking through a brick wall. And my phone rang. And I was like, whoa. And it was Cheryl. I was like, you all right? And she's like, yeah, Dad's passed. I was like,
oh.
And I was like, all right, cool, no worries. Didn't cry, nothing. Walked in.
Is that because because it'd been over a period of time, you sort of mentally prepared yourself for his worst day?
Do you know what? It didn't sink in until about 3 years ago.
Wow, okay.
And you don't, like, my best mate's dad passed just over a year ago.
Right.
And I spoke to him couple of days after, and I was like, right, he's like, yeah, I'm over it. I was like, mate, it's not even sunk in, trust me.
Yeah.
And I remember walking back into the site, I had to go out of scaffolding because there was a site meeting going on. I know the project manager, the boss who I was working for at the time was there, and Shell's little brother just started working for us.
Okay.
And they was all standing there, and I just walked in, and they were like, right. I was like, yeah, I got to go. Dad's passed. Dad's died. And everyone was like, whoa. And I was like, see you later. I drove to the hospital, saw my sisters, my mum and dad had already left. So I went in to see my dad there, give him a kiss, whatever, say goodbye. And went and had a cup of tea with my mum, my sister, well, my three sisters, my two little boys, and Michelle. I went back to work at 1 o'clock, I was back on the site.
That's crazy.
Mental, isn't it?
That's
nothing could have happened.
Wow.
Just nothing.
Wow. Was that your choice or was it?
That's mine.
That's what I mean. So would your boss have been okay?
No, you said take time off.
Right, but you chose not to.
No, I was like, I've got to go. Alf's on site. He's only been there a couple of weeks. I just got to go make sure he's all right. I just went back to work as if nothing. I was cabling by 2 o'clock.
Wow. Wow, that's yeah.
But
yeah.
That was like, I didn't really think about it until now. I don't like to use the word counsellor or therapist.
Yeah.
I like to call her by her name. Her name's Nikki.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Okay.
And it's not now until I started speaking to her and unraveling everything.
A professional.
Yeah, proper, professional.
Yeah.
Not like your mate over a pint, because you're only going to hear what you want to hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not then until you think, well, actually, my actions back then were not the right thing to do.
You didn't, like you said, you haven't processed it. No, you haven't took that time to process and heal, because from my personal experience, healing with grief, there's no time frame.
No, not at all. You don't get over grief, you learn to deal with it.
Yes, that's really important message, Dave.
Yeah, it's massive. And I said that to my mate when his dad passed. I was like, mate, you learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
You're never going to get over it.
No.
Right, yeah.
So going back to that then, so you talk about your mates not being probably the right person to talk about with grief or trauma that's going on in your life, and you work in the construction industry, and we hear this man up culture, don't we, term.
I hate the word.
You know, it's a way people deal with, you know, stresses and stuff like that, you know. Myself and my colleague Steve, who's not on the pod today, but we've done a podcast over that this mental health, and we want to get this stigma, this terminology eradicated if we
it's
can.
It's ridiculous. The stigma around men's mental health is crazy.
Yeah.
So this summed it up for me, and this is why I'm here and what I'm trying to do something. I'd love to break the stigma around men's mental health.
Yeah.
So normally I go on a Thursday to see Nikki.
Okay.
I can't remember. It was about 2-3 months ago. And I did it on Friday. I think I'd do something with one of my boys on the Thursday.
Okay.
So I went on a Friday. I went straight to the pub for a pint after. And there was a lad sitting outside. And he was like, oh, hello, mate. How are you? I was like, yeah. He's like, I haven't seen you for ages. I was like, let me grab a pint. I'll come out. Sat down. He's like, oh, where have you been? I went, oh, I've just been seeing a therapist. And he was like, gobsmacked.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's up? He was like, mate, the first time I met you, you stopped me getting beaten up by two people. He goes, for you to say that is like... Wow.
Yeah. So you would not be the typical character.
Yeah, that's it.
A therapist.
No, I'm not. I'm like, I like my football. Like, I'll have a good giggle. I'll have a go and have a pint. Yeah. Like, I'll have a bit of banter with everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just absolutely blown away by it. And he was like, I can't believe the words come out of your mouth.
So you think more men need to be signposted to counselling in certain situations, because
do you know what? It's not a bad thing to talk.
Because I think, like you touched on earlier, right? I think sometimes when you talk to your mate, you might be a bit more guarded. You might not get everything off your chest. How you're really feeling?
And you can't talk to, like, I couldn't talk to my sisters about it.
Right.
I'll get onto the reason I ended up the way I. Like my breakdown, what happened with my boy. Like, you can't talk to your family about it. You'll tell them I'm fine, don't worry about it. Yeah, this happened. You're only tell them a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you only tell your mates another section of it.
You want to put a brave front.
Yeah,
you want to get them down because you're down.
And you don't want people to worry about
it. I get that, yes.
And that's, like, you've got to get rid of that.
Yeah.
I've stepped away from a lot of people, and now I've got three of my mates, one I went to school with, I've known forever.
Yeah.
One whose dad passed last year, who I've played cricket with, I've known him since I was 18. He's literally like my brother.
Yeah.
And then my other mate, I've known forever as well.
Yeah. These sound like the characters. But
three of them have had mental health issues.
Right.
And they always used to find me, and I'd be like, come on, boys, chin up, mate, you've got this. And then they're all better now. And now it's happened to me, the shoe's on the other foot.
Yeah.
I didn't realise how much I need them.
Yes.
Like, when they needed me. And does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, can you be a bit more, do you feel you can be a bit more honest with them?
I can now understand how they were dealing and what was going on in their life.
Can you see the signs that they're
One of my friends, I can phone him up, the one who's like literally like my brother.
Yeah.
I can phone him up, and by the tone of my voice, he goes, right, what's wrong?
He knows. That's good.
That's crazy.
And we hear a lot about support networks.
You have to build it.
I was going to say, through your counselling, did you meet any of your friends through counselling?
No, not at all. So my first counsellor that I saw, one of my mates was using, he was like, yeah, this is it.
Right.
And it was literally like talking to my mate down the pub. It was a drug counsellor.
Right.
And I think his words were, if I met you in a pub, me and you could get right on it.
Right, yeah.
And that for me was like, right, I can't.
So how did you come across Nicky? How did you find Nicky?
So the chap who's my mate's dad, who passed last year, his mum, he's a counsellor.
Right.
She's moved away, and she knows everything. I could talk to her about anything. And at the beginning of this year, when everything come to blows with partner after a couple of years of just, not being able to cope with life. Yeah. She's had enough, and I don't blame her.
Yeah.
I've utmost respect for what she's had to do, breaking her own heart and my kids' hearts to...
If it
wasn't for her doing that, I wouldn't be getting on the straight and narrow.
That's really good. It's really good you can see it from that point of view.
Yeah, yeah, but it's only it's taken...
Time. Yeah.
Too long. And I was going and watched the football around my mate's house on a Thursday. We're United fans. I know we're from Southern.
We won't talk about football.
Yeah, no. And United, because they don't play Tuesday or Wednesday night football, we have to go and watch it on a Thursday. And I always go around his house to see him and his partner. And I went round and I knocked on the door. He's like, yeah, come in. Sat down. He's like, there's a phone. Mum's on the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was like an intervention.
Yeah.
She's like, look, I've spoke to the network of people I know. There's someone local. She thinks she can work with you.
Go and see her.
So I went and saw Nikki, and Nikki is amazing.
That's really lovely to hear that.
Yeah, she texts me, we were sitting here earlier, weren't we? My phone's gone, and it's her saying, just be yourself.
Yeah. You're fine.
And she's quite honest now. She's like, when you first walked in, she was like, from when someone recommends someone, like, you don't think it's going to work. She's like, right, you come in, you swear a lot, you don't like to talk.
Was you guarded at first then?
Massively.
Okay.
And do you know what? It's amazing how the professionals get it out of you.
Yeah. And it's like that's their job, that's their profession, isn't it? That's their trade.
You know,
it's like you bow to Whitehouse. That
100%.
You know, you can see the bigger picture, can't you?
To be able to get someone like myself to actually get talking about stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but there'd be millions, thousands of characters like yourself.
That's the word stigma.
Yeah.
I had that about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Do you know what? It's get rid of that word.
Yeah,
out of the dictionary.
Yeah, I think it's really good that you've done that. You're on the show today talking about your struggles and how you've coped with them. Because a lot of people may have gone and seen a doctor and got recommended to counseling that way.
Yeah, I've done that. I went to a doctor.
It didn't work for you that way?
Give me antidepressants. Didn't work.
Yeah, because that can be a bit of a slippery slope as well, can't it?
Yeah, considering I had a drug addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the reason of my mental health.
Yeah.
Because bottling that up, it was just a way of forgetting everything.
Yes. I get that.
And I think, and I've looked at a lot of stats and everything. Every 90 minutes, a man will don't commit suicide in the UK.
It's just, that's a scary, it's so scary,
and
isn't it?
And I've spoke to a lot of people now on sites because I tell it everyone and people are like, mate, really? I'm like, yeah, what's the problem about it? And I was like, everyone on this table, I bet you drink, you do drugs, you do both of them, you're a gambler.
Yeah.
Everyone's got
addiction of some description.
And if you sit down and they all, you all look at each other, everyone's like, oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
And then, why is this? Why have we all got these addictions? Why are we bottling? Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
And if you work it out, it's finances, sole trader, the stress of running a business, relationship, grief.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's not the same. You know, women don't seem to have the same kind of struggles.
No,
am I saying they don't?
I disagree on that a little bit.
Okay, go on.
I do, no, because
it just seems to me the stats always seem to be for men.
Yeah.
So whether we ain't got the right stats on that.
There's a lot of different types of mental health. And like,
no, I'm not saying they don't struggle with mental health. I'm just saying they don't have the addictions like the men.
The addiction, no.
You're talking about like the go to the pub, the drink much. I'm not saying they don't.
They're too busy. They're stressing at home looking after the kids.
I'm just saying men don't. I just think personally, a woman copes with the grief, the stress better because they will talk. They're better communicators than men. That's the route I was going down in the sense that, like you said, we bottle it up and we turn to other stuff.
Yeah.
And then we might go bury ourselves in work and so on. And then you might have a partner and I might go to you, you're okay, I'm fine.
Yeah, that's it. You don't want them to worry.
Yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
How's work? I'm like, yeah, it's all good. But in reality.
Yeah, and I think a woman would not probably do that so much. I think probably there are cases out there, but predominantly, I think women cope with the mental health better than men. And I don't know why that is. And it's something we need to look at. But like you said, there's so many stigmas about it, man up and that.
It's also a generational thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But women don't get told to be woman up.
No, that's it.
Yeah. You know, I've never heard that term.
Yes, men aren't allowed to cry.
Yes. This is what we're trying to break down.
Yeah.
That it's absolutely fine.
I think there's a clothing brand at the minute and on the back, I mean, it says boys cry too or something.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
I cry all the time now.
Yeah.
I can watch TV programme. I'm bawling my eyes out.
Oh, brilliant. So we've talked about therapy. So how's the therapy help you rebuild both professionally and personally? Has it been the best decision you ever made?
Best thing I ever done. It got me talking about why I had, obviously my dad passed, but then an incident happened with he was my youngest at the time, but my middle child now, which was like the icing on the cake.
Okay.
I've only just started to like. I've only
if you don't, you no, don't, no, you no, don't talk about it, you don't feel done.
Because then people, when I told my therapist, she was like, right, so what's going on? And I remember telling her, and I remember looking in her eye, I was just sitting there like we are now, and I told her what happened to my boy, and she was just like,
yeah,
she's like, I don't know how you're sitting it,
It was when you told, because obviously we had a conversation before, so I know a bit about your background, Chris, and when I read it as well, and you told me about it, I was like, wow, that's from a father's point of view.
Yeah,
I
got goosebumps, mate.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was like, whoa.
I only told, obviously everyone knows, so long story, I might as well just get it out of there. Monday afternoon in the summer 2021, Shell's off to work. She had an evening shift in a pub. It was like real hot, wasn't it, that summer?
Yeah.
Were in and out of the paddling pool. She's like, do you mind giving the boys a bath afterwards? I was like, yeah, sweet, no worries. So she left at like 5:45. We mucked about in the garden. We took the dog for a walk. Come back. I was like, right, bath time. So I made sure it was.
Bath time, bedtime. It's a usual routine.
You know what I mean? Four and 18 months. Normal thing. Vin would be there. Fred was there. Vin's the youngest. Fred's the eldest. Vinny was used to lean over and blow bubbles in a bath. It was just a little thing that he'd done. I don't know, And I remember it was cold bath. Like I made sure it wasn't hot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Cool them down before you go to bed.
God, look at
that. Yeah, I can see it. Like I said, no, if you don't talk about
this is the reason because bottling it up isn't going to help people understand why we've got to blow that word stigma out.
It's tough, isn't it? It's tough.
Well, I just told my mum and my sisters and Cheryl about 2 months ago exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, my mum and my sister was just like heartbroken.
Yeah, can imagine.
Obviously, everyone knew what happened, but to actually know
the finer details
was mad. So yeah, I washed Vinny's hair, started washing Fred's. Vin had leant over, which thought he'd blown bubbles. And I remember Fred went, Vin. And I looked, and do you know when you know something's wrong? And I lifted him up, and he was blue. Like,
wow.
Gone.
Wow.
And I just said to Fred, I was like, Fred, you've got to go next door, knock on next door. You have to go around the back and knock on their door. I was like, go and knock on next door's door and tell him daddy needs help. And I got Vinny up, and all I could picture in my head, I don't know if you've ever seen a dead body. Like, obviously, I'd seen my dad.
No, I haven't. Yeah, so
that's all I could see.
I can imagine. I can imagine the trauma of that
And I hadn't really dealt with my dad passing.
Yeah.
So I was struggling mentally, but I didn't know that at the time. So I took him downstairs, and I started doing CPR because he wasn't breathing.
Did you have any prior training for the CPR?
This would make you laugh. So Michelle was working nights in the pub in the evenings. Get bored in it on Channel 5, and there's no football or sport on. Police interceptors. There was an accident. There was an accident.
Yeah.
And then there was a little baby involved, and how to do CPR on a kid.
Because it's different, isn't it?
Two fingers.
And
you don't blow in the mouth or anything.
Yeah, because I always remember about Glenn Hoddle when he happened on live on TV.
Yeah.
And I listen to podcasts, football podcasts. I do listen to electrical ones as well. And the guy who saved Chris Hoddle's life broke, I think, so many ribs.
Yeah,
because you have to push your eye. But on a child, it's a different...
Yeah, it's a completely different ball.
Carry on, sorry.
Right, nice. No, so, yeah, I've just seen it on a telly randomly, innit? And... So I was a childminder anyway, so like, and I've done first aid training and that, and so I just started doing that, and I don't know if it was about 7-8 minutes he was what, didn't breathe.
Wow.
I remember Nikki, Dave, and Sasha, I don't know if I say their names, but it doesn't matter.
These are your neighbours, aren't
they? Yeah. So Fred was standing there crying. Their daughter went and got Shell from the pub. Nikki was on the phone. Dave went down our road, so I was got a single road. Everyone on our estate come out, move their cars.
Oh, because of the ambulances.
All down the street. People went down to the main high street in the village to get them up.
That's really good. Because sometimes it's a struggle, isn't it, for emergency services to get to houses, cars parked.
Let me tell you, that day, fair play to them. I had 16 paramedics, I think, showed up. Air ambulance was dispatched. Quick response doctors. All I remember from that day, and I stupidly just... going off subject, I stupidly watched it back on my cameras outside my house 2 weeks later. I deleted it. I had to, because I don't know why. So I just wanted to see if I could have done anything better.
Was you beating yourself up over?
Massively.
Massively. So, I see.
And all I remember is Fred shouting, my little brother's dead. And Nikki was on the phone to 999 going, his dad just won't stop. He's gone. The boy's gone. And as that first ambulance arrived, he took his first breath.
Was that a massive relief?
I still don't know to this day how.
He's okay now.
There
is a happy ending to it.
Yeah, massively. So, so he was whisked off to hospital. My mum and my sister come over. They took Fred. And I'd stopped smoking at the time. And within an hour, everything had gone. The street was quiet. It was mad. So I was sitting on the patio at the back. I remember Nikki put her head over. And they all call me Eddie. She went, Ed, do you want a fag? I was like, yeah.
You needed one.
I needed one. And I just broke down, mate. I was just...
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And then my phone rang. It was Michelle from the hospital. She goes, I've just got to tell you this. Paramedics and the doctors have said, if it wasn't for your quick response, like how you dealt with it and not losing it, he wouldn't be here.
Wow. I mean... It's a great
story. So we have a long running joke now in our family that I've brought him in the world twice, because he was born in a car and I delivered him and then I brought him back to life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dad of the year over here.
Not at all.
But joking aside, but like you said, you probably, you reacted to a situation incredibly well there.
I haven't got a clue how.
That's just built into you. You don't have to know how.
I remember a couple of weeks later, I was walking down the village, probably to buy a packet of fags because I started. And this woman come out of the veg shop and she went, "Oh, you're the hero." I was like, "What are you on about?" She's like, "You're the chap that saved that boy's life." I was like, "No, I'm just a dad."
Yeah, yeah. But it's a natural instinct, isn't it? It's a natural instinct of a, like you said, of a dad would have. I don't know if I would have, I don't know, you know. It's something I would, you don't know until that situation, do you?
We actually found out that he had a steel seizure.
Wow.
And he signed for, I can't touch wood.
Yeah.
He hasn't had one since last year. So he's like had brain scans and that. So that was.
So he's on, recovery's been well, he's all good now.
Yeah, he's mental.
That's fine.
All kids are.
I've got a little boy myself here. They're all like that.
But that was the start of like me just, I never spoke about it.
Right. And so you've had your dad.
Yeah, dad. I started set up my own company, my dad passing, and then that with my little boy.
And that was just, you think that was like, that was the trigger then?
Massive.
For the breakdown. Did you go off the rails then, did you?
I went off the rails. I was just, just didn't give a.
Yeah.
I was working so much to avoid life.
Yes.
And then.
We talked about that earlier on, don't you? That.
Yeah.
A coping mechanism for maybe males in the trade, in the construction trade, is, or in any work in life maybe, is to bury themselves, keep themselves in work, keep themselves busy. So you don't have to process the grief.
No.
But actually, the first, you do need to talk to, especially when you have grief, like real bad grief, you've gone through there, that maybe you need to see a professional.
I didn't.
And talk about it.
Yeah, but if I had, Shell tried to help me, like support me to stop.
She must have noticed a change in you then.
She did. I was like always happy, like great with the kids. And then all of a sudden I was losing my temper. I was present, but I wasn't present.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
We had a bust up, I don't know why, 2 years ago, last year? About 2 years ago. And that's when I had the breakdown in dropping my kid off at school. Just literally just come out of me.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. And I phoned a friend of ours. I was in pieces and he found out he's recorded. He's the chap that I'm working with to try and do something at the minute. But he recorded me without me knowing that day.
Right.
Yeah, like talking. I've never seen or heard anyone just like on their knees needing help.
Yeah.
I didn't realise like how bad it was. So I literally got on a train and I went to my uncle's for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
He lives in Devon, down on the coast.
Did you want to get away from it all?
I had to, like, to save myself.
Yeah.
And that was when I first realised that I needed to start getting help.
Professional help.
So I started to see a counsellor then, didn't work out.
I think you make a touch a good point there, because sometimes your first counsellor might not be the right one. It's like you going to get your hair cut.
The first car you see, you don't go and buy it, do you?
Yeah, yeah. So it's, a lot of people may go to counselling and then, well, that's no good, and give up. But I think you make a very good point that you've tried a few different counsellors and they haven't quite worked for you, but now you've found one that is working perfectly for you. Don't give up the first attempt, I think.
No, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Don't give up, because give up, you never know, the worst might happen. And your mental health, like, you don't realise that you need help, if you know what
I think, like you said, the COVID situation changed the world massively.
Man, yeah, huge.
And mental health did change dramatically for everyone.
But probably especially for sole traders and that. Because, during COVID, we had to work because you could get a grant, but it wasn't like we was getting paid monthly like everyone else.
No, you didn't get furloughed, did you?
No, you didn't get furloughed. Yeah. So you had to go to work and then money struggles and then... Yeah. It builds up.
So Chris, thanks for sharing your story with us. It's been really appreciated. But I want to just finish it off with a bit of someone struggling, listen to this now. What do you advise them to do? What would be a good bit of advice from you?
It's good to talk.
Good to talk?
Yeah.
Would it be...
Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of it.
You reached out for counselling, and I think that is the first step, isn't it?
It's the first step.
Well, so probably the first step is probably admitting that you need help. And then seeking the help?
Because of the word stigma around it and everyone saying man up.
Yeah.
Just ignore that. Think about yourself. Think about if you've got your wife, your kids. They need you as much as you need them.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But your health is your wealth.
Well, that's it, isn't it? And it's not just like your physical, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
it's mental is really key,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And you don't realise how much, if you need to be.
Yeah.
And getting help.
And you talked about as well that you might need to disassociate yourself with certain people 100%. In your life that might not be a good influence.
Even through friends, they'll be there when you're back to your normal self.
We really appreciate you coming on the show, Chris, today. We're gonna wrap up this episode. We could talk all day.
Yeah.
We really could, but I just want to say a massive thank you for coming on the show.
That's cool.
And sharing your experience with us. If you're struggling out there, people, support is out there available to you. Let's continue to check in on each other, stay connected on that one as well. And I'll just finish it off. Please don't forget to leave a review, subscribe to the show. And until next time, thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay grounded, and keep that current flowing.